And good evening. This is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. Now, tonight we've had a bit of a journey trying to get this interview set, but we have Isha here, who has written a book, a wonderful book called Why Walk When You Can Fly. When I saw the book, I thought, oh, this is a perfect book. And it's about soaring beyond your fears and loving yourself and others unconditionally. I really enjoyed the book. And I'm very blessed to have Isha here on the line with me. Welcome, Isha.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we started a little bit of an interview a while ago, but let's start it again. And tell me a little bit about how you got to here.
Well, you know, I was the sort of woman that always basically achieved what I wanted in life, and I could see that I got to a point where it was never enough. Like, I never felt satisfied. I was always yearning for something else. I suppose, like most people, you know, I wanted more answers to the profound questions and the reason why I was here. And I just, I never felt completely satisfied. And I could also see when I started to go a bit deeper that I had an enormous amount of fear. Fear that was masked very well by a confident facade, but in reality there was still a very frightened, insecure child within me that was pretending all the time, compromising, you know, doing everything to please on the outside so that I would feel loved. And I got to the point in my life where I wanted to just be free. I wanted to experience the self-love. I didn't even know what that meant. And I wanted to not have to depend on something external for my security, because I could see that that need really consumed a lot of my energy, and I had to constantly control the whole world so that I felt safe.
Yeah, I think a journey that a lot of us tend to go on. I mean, maybe not, you know, as lucky as you. Usually it's something that happens to some of us that kind of push us on that journey to, you know, seek and to find something deeper. I know that self-love is probably, you know, one of the biggest areas that we seem to struggle with. And certainly you give a lot of great wisdom in your book about how to find that love within ourselves. And I think that's the first thing that I want to talk about, which is, you know, you talk about this beautiful term called love consciousness. Explain what that means. Explain how do we expand this concept, this place within our being.
Well, you know, I realize that all humans have an experience of profound internal unconditional love. And when we're children, we experience it all the time. We live perfectly in the moment. We live in what I call our hearts, or love consciousness. But this isn't something idealistic. It's actually an experience that's very real, very concrete. And it's peace, joy, and love in the present moment for no apparent reason. And when we start to focus on this internal unconditional love, it's like a muscle. It starts to grow, and it grows very, very rapidly, because in reality it's the greatness of who we are. The mind keeps us locked in a place of duality so that we can have our human experience, you know, and the mind's like a monkey. It's always jumping all over the place, comparing, judging, criticizing, loving, hating. It perceives separation everywhere. But when we start to anchor in this place of unconditional love, we start to remove all the fears and the belief systems that come from the intellect, and we start to actually see things as they are, like we saw them when we were children. And the most important thing, I think, is that we start to see ourselves, and we start to see these habitual behaviors and habits and addictions that we have that constantly lead us to a place of suffering and self-abandonment. And we've been doing it for so long, we're not even conscious of it. We do the most crazy things and expect to find peace and joy. Mm-hmm. But it's the same things we've always done, and they always lead us directly back to exactly the same place. A high and then a crash. Mm. So we start to see all these behaviors, and we start to let go of them, but from a place of internal consciousness. and security. And this consciousness and security allows us the strength to just constantly be letting go of the limiting behaviors that hold us in prison, basically.
Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, there's so much talk about, you know, how...
Could you talk a little bit louder, please?
Sure. There's so much talk about how we are separate, and our mind keeps us separate, our ego keeps us separate, and how we're, you know, coming into a place of consciousness or oneness. And, you know, it becomes, it's an interesting duality within us that exists. And I think, you know, the more we try to remember that, you know, we're on this tiny little planet that's, you know, got over 6 billion people, and yet we all think we're all alone, we're all abandoned, and we're so separate. And it's so funny sometimes.
Well, you know, the thing is that when we find internal unity, we realize that we're everything and that we're all one, and that in reality, it's not so much about being alone, but we are everything. And we start to let go of the external judgment, and we start to find a place of unconditional love internally initially, and then externally, and we start to see the perfection within the duality, and we realize that it is a creation of duality, and it has fear and love and separation and a billion, trillion different aspects, but they're all perfect. Whereas from our intellects, we're taught to see things as very wrong, like there's lots of things wrong, there's lots of injustices. We want people to think how we think, like if we're right, they're wrong. And we tend to separate ourselves off into little groups so that we feel comfortable, and then there's fractions within the little groups, and finally it always comes back to the same point: I have to love myself, and then I can love the world. And it's incredible, because when you start to see this very clearly, and when you start to experience love consciousness, you realize that it was all you ever wanted. I mean, for me, I was always chasing the illusionary carrot of success and fame and money and all those things, you know, and it was endless, because it didn't matter to what point I got, there was always a much bigger point, you know, oh, and that's the next point, and then I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny now, because I teach literally thousands of people, and all people want the same thing, and lots of people achieve what we think is the ideal dream, and they're still not happy. You know, there's still this internal yearning. And some people in completely diverse situations that you think, well, they're easily pleased, they're living in consciousness and they're completely happy.
Yeah.
So it's never an external, you know, it's not something external ever.
Right.
And the beautiful thing is that when you find internal plenitude, the external reflects that, but abundantly, you know, but you're not attached to it. It just comes.
Mm-hmm. So we'll get into how do we do that.
Great. I'll just talk endlessly here. You have to interrupt me.
Beautiful.
If you want to talk, you'll have to interrupt me.
Okay, I'll remember that. In your book, you give four facets that you practice each day, working up to an hour, that are kind of similar to meditations with a mantra, but it's different. It focuses on the now, and it works on different levels, etc. Explain how this is different from meditation and doing mantras.
Well, the facets are absolute truths of unified consciousness. They're an experience, and this experience makes absolutely no sense to the intellect. In fact, it's probably in contra to the intellect. The intellect reads the facet and says, well, that's not true. And it's an experience of unified consciousness that causes a vibratory lift in the central nervous system, and it also causes a perfect experience of union between the right and left hemispheres of the mind. And this experience is consciousness. And when you think the facet, you mechanically touch on that space, and the things that vibrate in lower frequencies, which are our fears, our addictions, toxins, all of those things, they start to leave by themselves, because the nature of love is to move towards the truer essence, like the higher vibration. In reality, fear is love as well. I know that sounds contradictory, but it's just a very dense vibration of love. Mm. So the love naturally wants to vibrate on a higher frequency. Now, when you use the facets, the mind sometimes becomes frantic because it's trying to maintain this experience of duality that it has to contain the control. But it doesn't matter because you think the facet, and there might be lots of thoughts, there might be hardly any thoughts, you might have memories, and it starts to clean what I call the matrix of the intellect. Now, the matrix of the intellect is the thing that sustains the duality, and we become trapped in it. It's like a net or a web, and we think that our ideas and our past experiences and our thoughts are who we are, but we're so much more than that. So we start to clean that. And sometimes it seems a bit like meditation, but it has a completely and a much faster it's a process, like it's a very rapid cleaning process. It heals the nervous system, it starts to remove all the rubbish from the mind, and you start to see so clearly from a place of internal consciousness the things that are true and the things that aren't.
Yeah, I like that. In the facets, perfection is a word that you use in three of them, and it's an interesting choice of words in a society that judges so much and compares ourselves to everything. Let's talk about perfection.
You know, in my experience, we're perfect exactly as we are because we're having an experience of duality, and humans have human behaviors. And yes, I suppose spiritual people call this behaviors based in ego. That's one of the favorite words. But ego, I always say that an ego is like the shell of an unborn eagle, for example. So you have something internal that's immature. It doesn't know anything more. It doesn't know of its glory or the power of flight. It just feels protected within the shell of what it knows. But as we start to expand love consciousness, we start to chip away at that shell, that protection, and we start to become more and more love in every moment. But is the shell wrong? No, the shell's perfect in that moment. And in each moment I'm perfect, but I'm becoming more and more of the greatness of who I really am, which is the love. And so instead of focusing on, oh, there's something terribly wrong, because we judge our human experience. But our human experience is unconscious. It's a creation that we've made through reactions and responses that actually, as you start to become the love, you start to see that it's not founded in anything very real. It's illusionary. So if we focus on the perfection of this moment, we become more and more perfection. And when I talk about more and more perfection, I talk about more and more love. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we focus on criticizing ourselves, criticizing our human experience, judging ourselves and having this expectation of how we should be. Like a lot of us have this idea that we should be as Jesus, for example, or Mother Teresa or whoever, you know, some saintly figure. And it's something that when we're locked within this, the boundaries of fear, we cannot be that. You know, we have to be the love to be the master. So it's about loving ourselves in every moment instead of this constant criticism and always tearing at ourselves and judging ourselves. And, of course, we put that outside too. We do it with everyone. So we start to embrace our humanity. And in order to find our divinity, we need to embrace the perfection of our humanity in this moment. So it's actually the opposite to everything that we've been taught, and that's another reason why I believe the system works so rapidly, because it's constantly focused on love. And it's not about a place of complacency, you know, like, well, I'm perfect, I'm the love, and it doesn't matter what I do because Isha said I'm perfect anyway, so there. It's not about that. It's about evolving as a love being. You know, and the irony is that, or the beauty is, I should say, not the irony, is that when you start to experience love, and you, really energetically, and it's such a profound experience, you want more and more of that. Like you become addicted to being the love, and very rapidly you stop the places of self-abandonment.
You use a beautiful example in your book about a diamond and how, you know, the core is the same in every diamond, but, you know, to look at each diamond, they're all very, very unique. And that, I guess, as you were talking, made me think of that example, because it's just, I use it now all the time because I think it's so perfect.
Well, it's true. You know, all humans are these perfect diamonds, and we're all made of the same essence. It's just that sometimes the diamond's a bit trapped in the coal mine, and we have to go in and start polishing the different aspects. And, you know, we have all these ideas of how the perfect person is, but we are those perfect people. We just have to embrace our own unique qualities. And through love consciousness, we do that. You know, because we have these ideas, I'm meant to look like the woman in the Vanity magazine, or I'm meant to have the perfect man that looks like this, or, you know, all these things that we have in our heads, or our bodies are meant to look like this and that, and or our intellects, or whatever. And when we start loving ourselves, we start radiating that internal love and light, and we find our own perfection, our unique perfection. And, of course, none of it looks the same. I mean, what a boring world. We all are so incredibly different and so incredibly beautiful, but we can never see that because we're comparing all the time.
Yeah.
And I meet the most incredible people. You know, I got stuck at the airport when I was coming to Australia for, I think it was 9 hours. I was sitting in Auckland. Mm-hmm. And I was watching everyone walk past, and there's no two people that are the same. I mean, it's phenomenal. Everyone is so incredibly different. And once we find that unique perfection within ourselves, we radiate this incredible light. All humans do, even within what we perceive as imperfection,
mm-hmm.
which for me doesn't even exist anymore.
Hmm. Wow. Would be a great place to be, I would imagine. There are moments when I can get to that place and I can feel that essence, and just even talking with you, you can feel the rising energy. Which is just amazing that it, you know, those times that you just, it's so amazing how we can get caught up in the moment of what's happening in the world or what's happening around us, and we forget something that's so incredibly blissful.
Well, I feel, you know, this is all I do is I mm-hmm. teach this, and I always say to everyone, world peace, what we want in the world is our responsibility. Like, it starts with each person, and it's what we're choosing for. We're so programmed to choose to be victims and to feel like the injustice and how everything's against us. But the beautiful thing about the facets is you have a tool that you can choose in each moment. And even initially, you know, there might be you start to dissolve the matrix through the expansion of love consciousness, and it's like anything. Of course, you're going to fall into a little drama, but quicker and quicker you start to become the consciousness until your mind doesn't hook you anymore. Mm. You start to make that choice all the time until it's a perpetual experience of having that underlying peace and joy, even the most difficult situations. And, you know, things do happen in the world, but to fall into a hole of misery and suffering like this communal suffering doesn't serve. We have to keep focusing on being the love and holding ourselves firstly in our own greatness as masterful creators, and then everyone else. And it doesn't mean that we're not compassionate or we don't care, quite the opposite. We're very connected, but we're not anchored in drama and fear and collective panic. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because it doesn't serve, and it's what we've always done. We love to all go into a collective panic.
And it perpetuates it. I mean, it becomes part of the problem instead of the solution.
Absolutely. But this is changing. I mean, mm-hmm. I see it so clearly. It's amazing how people are starting to see it. Hmm. Things are changing very dramatically and very rapidly in the world.
Yeah. It's an interesting time to be alive, I think.
Great. Wouldn't want to be dead.
Wouldn't that be a pity? And I think there are a lot of people that are walking dead in these, but there are a lot of people that are waking up. But yes, I think it's a great time.
Sure, but we'll all start waking up. You know, it's interesting because I look back at my past. I just did a movie recently that I'm about to release, and it's funny because I do a little skit in it of my past life. And we're so unconscious that we're unconscious. It's unbelievable. Like, we just keep to, and we actually think we're quite happy.
Yeah.
And when you become happy, you look back and you think, I was so asleep. Like, I was just running around doing the same thing every day. And I didn't realize that I actually was never present in my world. I was always chasing a future moment. And all the beauty, like I come home to Australia now and it's so beautiful, this place. And you can be so busy you can actually miss a whole country. Like, oh, oh yes, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Now I can see it.
Oh, that's funny. So with our mind, we're always analyzing and trying to understand, and we're judging everything and every situation. How do we get out of the monkey mind and the past and the worrying about the future, and how do we, you know, sit here present in the now?
Well, you know, that's what I love about the facets, because I use them to just break it. It just keeps breaking the mind wandering. And the only way that I know to do it is to pull yourself dramatically into the present moment and to be conscious of watching the mind. The facets are great because it gives you something to think that brings you into the moment. I mean, we've done it for so long, you really have to start training yourself to keep coming back into the present moment. And then when you start to experience this love consciousness, it's a natural place for the mind to go, because there's some aspect of us that wants that peace, that wants that relief from the nagging of the mind. So it's just about a training process, but it's a very fast process, because our natural essence is consciousness. The mind, the stress, that yearning for something external isn't who we are. It's just our human experience. So when we start to break that, and I teach in the book and I teach my students to have something that brings them back into the present. Like, of course, they use the facets, but I also tell them to have like a little buzzer that goes off every 15 minutes or an hour, just something that grabs their attention. They think, oh, I've got to come back into the present moment. It's like anything. I mean, you have to exercise the capacity to do that, but it becomes very natural very quickly, because the mind wants that peace. And the heart wants to sit in that place of peace and joy too, because it's something so familiar, because when we were children, we were there all the time. And for us, that represents, you know, that innocence, that joy, that perfection. So it's not that hard to break the mind. It's not so much looking for a place of no mind, it's just coming back into the present, back into the present. And that's what I love about the facets, they make it simple.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Often it's not so simple.
Yes, there's a lot of that out there too, isn't there?
Beg your pardon?
There's a lot of that out there where it makes it so much more difficult than it needs to be. And we get caught up in that's the only way, and we think that, we just get caught up in our own. Then we become the spiritual ego that...
No, you know, wow, that's a big trap.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's funny.
Yeah, we have another box of ideas. I let go of those ideas, and now I have this other box of ideas to defend. And consciousness isn't about that. Consciousness is just innocence and being real. It's not the right and the wrong, the this, the that. They're just ideas, because the intellect needs to have control, so it has to have a set of rules, and it has to have, all these complex things to follow to keep itself entertained. But when you start to experience love consciousness, you just want that peace and that innocence and that spontaneity, because that's how we are naturally. Everything else is just the control of the intellect. I always say to my students, you know, if you think you know something, just let it go.
Yeah.
Be open to... When you get to the point where you realize you know nothing and you're in a position to surrender and listen... That's when you're at the point that you're going to start being the consciousness. And innocence, surrender, and letting go of ideas is one of the greatest and quickest ways to expand consciousness. And wherever there's a no, to put a yes, and to stop fighting, like intellectually, with this. Humans always say they want peace, but in reality we want to be right. When we want people to approve that we're right, and that we're doing it well. It's like that school ground mentality. And we just need to let go of that and just laugh at ourselves and be more as children. I always say life's simple. Humans are complicated. It's not that life's so difficult. It's just that we make it so intense and complicated, and we're so rigid and hard with ourselves, you know? We think we're hard on each other. Well, we kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about unconditional relationships. And this is an area, I think, where a lot of people lose themselves. We get into power struggles. We compromise too much. We never speak our truth. You know, what is the ideal relationship?
Well, for me, I feel that the most important thing is the relationship we have with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're focused on love consciousness, and this love consciousness has behaviors. The natural behavior of consciousness is truth, integrity, transparency, and as we become more love, we start to be that. And that's our natural behavior. Like people that are sitting in consciousness always speak the truth. And it gets to a point, like initially not. Mm-hmm. Initially we have the old habits. But it's like, as I said, consciousness is like a muscle. And this muscle is based in integrity, transparency, and truth. It doesn't abandon itself. It doesn't lose itself externally because it needs. It feeds internally and it gives that to the outside as well. Like it speaks the truth to the outside because it's not afraid of losing something. And this was the real reason that I really focused on consciousness, on waking up, was that I could see how I compromised everywhere because I was so afraid of being abandoned.
Mm.
But the funny thing is that the person that's outside of you is you, and they're mirroring that abandonment to you all the time, so that fear is there. But when you start to love yourself unconditionally, the mirror changes. You know, we think someone outside's separate from us, but in reality, they're just a big mirror of our loves and our discontents. And as we become more love, the external mirror shows us that love until we create it in every aspect of our lives. So I had this idea as a spiritual person before I was experiencing consciousness that I had to love unconditionally. But I became like a doormat because, well, as much as I could, I suppose, because... Yeah, I'm not very doormat material. But in the sense that I would give and give and give and give and give, but then I'd be resented because it wasn't unconditional. Of course I wanted something in return because I wasn't complete within myself. But when I became complete within myself, I could actually give, and that giving wasn't always being adoring and sweet. It could often be hard and shocking, like telling people to wake up and stop compromising and manipulating and speaking the truth. You know, love isn't always this sweet thing. It's a truthful thing, and sometimes the truth can be severe.
Mm-hmm.
Did that answer the question?
Yeah, I mean, I think as we become more conscious and as we, you know, are growing in this game that we're playing or this dance that we're playing, and we're entertaining the ideas of relationships. I mean, because my second question is what is conscious sexuality? And I mean, it is an area in your book that you talk about, and I know that it is an area that we tend to, as you say, we tend to compromise, we tend to not speak our truth because we're always afraid of either being abandoned or, you know, not... you know, we want to please, so we all want the same thing. We all, in our hearts, want just to be loved, and you know, we smother sometimes by the fact that, you know, I know that's something that I do when I get concerned. I instead of meeting them halfway, I go like 100% into their energy and try and help them, right? And those are areas that we need to be more conscious of and really think about, you know, what does an ideal relationship look like? And certainly it has to start with ourselves. And then what will it start to look like afterwards? And you know, conscious sexuality is an area that is so incredibly powerful. And, you know, in relationships, they're probably the one area that we learn and grow the most because the mirror is right in front of us and we can't really avoid it as long as we're being conscious.
Well, you know, I think it's in every aspect. I don't sort of make the sexual aspect any different, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a place where you're going to be the truth and where you're going to be giving, because consciousness gives. And I guess, like, sexual relationships that are conscious relationships are based in real love and being very present. Like, it's not a fantasy in our head. We're actually seeing the person in front of us. And we're giving from unconditional love. So we're very conscious of what's happening with our partners. In my experience, it's much more intense and much more profound than what maybe it would have been before. Like, you know, absent sex or sex with drinking or whatever it is that we take, you know, but to be in consciousness and having a relationship based in unconditional love, there's a very strong and a very profound connection, and you're very present with the person. So it's something very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, again, it comes back to the relationship you have with yourself. Am I loving myself? You know, am I accepting myself? Am I being true to myself? And am I giving from that place?
Right. Yeah, and I guess it's about being aware at all times that we're, you know, we're thinking consciously, awareness, and being within ourselves so that we can share outside ourselves.
Sure, but to have fun too, and to be light and joyful and like kids. You know, that's another thing. I mean, spirituality is fun. It's joy. It's, we need to learn to just be innocent. You know, children don't think. They just say what they think and they have fun and they love each other unconditionally. They're not attached to everything. There's not all these heavy burden. You know, if you're going to be my friend, you're going to be my friend for life. You promise and you're never going to leave me. Like, we're very, we like commitments and we like everything written and verified and because it makes us feel secure. But when we have this internal security, we start to just enjoy the moment. We don't project the fears of a future moment.
Right.
And things unfold perfectly. So I think, you know, once you feel so complete within yourself, you detach from need, and that's the most beautiful place to be in because the other person mirrors that. And there's just this joy to be with each other. It's not like this heaviness of, am I doing it right? And is he going to stay? Or will she love me forever? And, you know, all of that, those things that we try to lock each other up. But when we're free within ourselves, we have that. And we can just give love without conditions.
Beautiful. And I think, you know, when you said something, it's so important to remember that, you know, this we seem to think this journey is just like this huge burden and we have to really start enjoying.
The key is to laugh, and especially at ourselves, because we're all crazy. I mean, really, if you really sit and watch, you go, oh, my God, I do that. Isn't that so stupid? I wonder why I did that for so long. But just to laugh at it, you know, we tend to get so dense over, oh, I can't believe I did that. As soon as you see something, just change, you know, laugh it and go, oh, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to make a new choice now, not, oh, I've been doing that for years and I'm so terrible and look at all the people that affected. And just to change in each moment and to concept that guilt's a good thing because it's not. It's a past moment. It's what I'm choosing for in this moment. You know, when I go into the prisons and I teach high security prisoners, and they all have this, they come from very heavy backgrounds, but they carry this extraordinary burden that there's something so wrong with them. And I said, you know, in this moment, you're going to be the love, and it's the choices you make from this moment onwards that define who you are. Your past is an illusion. It doesn't exist. And I think all of us live in that prison, you know, the prison of judgment and criticism and self-abandonment. And it's what we choose now. You know, we decide whether we live in a prison or whether we take flight. It's absolutely up to us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. I like in your book how you talk about destroying the myths of enlightenment. Again, we get in this whole, you know, there are so many what to's and this is the only way and this is, you know, how you have to do it. And you know, I don't know anymore what enlightenment is. I think, you know, it's just about being in the now and it's about being as fully present and enjoying the beauty and the richness of the emotions that we have. And it's, you know, I think certainly the message so far this year has been about love of self. I mean, I think that's where we get to whatever this, you know, mystery of enlightenment is.
Sure, we have to embrace our humanity, and 100%. It's actually an energetic experience, because as the internal consciousness grows, first you start to experience it internally, and then in one instant it moves into everything. And that's the moment of enlightenment, that you experience union with totality. So it is actually an experience that takes place in an instant, and then it's a permanent experience, and the fear falls away completely. But during the process of getting to this point, there's steps that we take, but they're internal steps, and there's a voice inside of us that tells us what we need to do. And this voice comes from internal omniscience. And this omniscience tells us to let go. This omniscience tells us to speak the truth. This omniscience tells us to feel our emotions and to be real and take off the masks. And what it's basically telling us is just love ourselves exactly as we are in each moment and choose for more love. So we make conscious choices that nurture this internal experience of love until we become that love permanently. And yes, there's so many ideas and concepts and rigidities, and it's basically about being ourselves and loving that. Like, stop perceiving that there's something wrong. Mm. And that's what I love about the facets, because they are the truth. You become the facet. It becomes your experience. You know, this moment is perfect. I am the love in my perfection, and I am the unity. And you become that experience. So intellectually, it doesn't make any sense. But when you become that, it's the only thing that makes any sense, because it's the only thing that's real. And to try and work out consciousness from the intellect, it's impossible. You know, it's like telling a dolphin what it's like to walk on the moon. You can't. I mean, he lives in the ocean. You can't live in the duality of your mind and perceive union. It's impossible. You have to surrender the mind and just become the union. And when you start to tap into omniscience, which is within all humans, it comes from unity, which comes from that internal experience of oneness, it's so clear, because there's no question. The answers come, but they come like so fast, like boom, and there's the answer, and there's no doubt. The intellect can't even compete with that answer. It's so clear, it's in your heart, and you know that's the truth. And the intellect will say, no, it's not true. And it's like a fly. You're just like, oh, go away. Because you're experiencing the truth. Consciousness is an experience. It's not something you can fathom intellectually. Because the intellect's duality.
Right. I love when you talk about embracing the magic and finding love in everything, and that suffering has nothing to do with love.
But we think it does, don't we? Oh, suffering. I waited for him for 10 years. This is real love. Oh, my God. Yeah, I just wasted 10 years of my life.
Yeah. Really wasted it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Love has nothing to do with suffering. And this is another funny thing, isn't it? Because we've been taught that. We watch movies. Ever since our childhood, we were taught that we fight for love, we suffer for love, we struggle for love. Love, you know, it's coming in a future moment on a white horse. That's all we've ever been taught. It's a future moment, and when that arrives, everything's going to be great. And that was wrong too, because when it arrived, maybe we couldn't even see it, or it didn't look right, so we just ignored it and kept looking. You know, and it's within us, this love that we're waiting for. And it's here now. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. It's a choice in this moment. Isn't it funny how crazy we are, really?
Yeah, funny's a word.
It's great, the illusion. It's so tricky. We've been taught the exact wrong way to find love.
Well, we've always been given conditions on our love. I mean, from, I wouldn't say day one, because, you know, there's moments, if you were, you know, with your birth mother, that you would have experienced that bliss and that, you know, true connection. And then as it kind of wore on and the nights got longer or shorter, that, you know, that conditions started being put on what love was. So we just assumed, our mind assumed, that that's what you, what love was. It was this, sure. It was suffering.
And sure, we create the separation internally. And when we start to experience love consciousness, we heal that internal separation, because we think that we've been abandoned by love, or we don't deserve love. All humans think that fundamentally. We feel that at the depth of our being, that we did something wrong and we don't deserve love. And it's not something we're conscious of. But as we start to go deeper into our fears and expand love, we see that. We go, oh, you know, I think there's something fundamentally wrong with me. That's why I was abandoned, or that's why someone died, or that's why there was a divorce. Like, I did something wrong and I don't deserve love. And we create that externally.
Yeah. And one of my favorite things you talk about is, you know, feeling your emotion. And there's so much out there that says, you know, that we're to be detached. And, you know, there's obviously, there is a place for detachment, because there are times when you just, you know, you get so caught up in the suffering and you have to, you know, you have to detach from the consciousness, the unconsciousness that is permeating right now, especially around the global economic system and everything that's going on. And there's parts of it that you have to learn how to detach. But, you know, we have such a rich array of emotions, and a lot of the times we haven't learned how to experience those, because we were told to, you know, shut them down, and, you know, big boys don't cry, and, you know, you're to look pretty, and, you know, you're to be seen and not heard. And so you learn how to, you know, completely stuff all of your emotions in, and it's really about, you know, really feeling the depth of them, and that you know, that it's not about judging them or getting caught up in the drama and the suffering, but really, you know, to feel them, because there's such healing in feeling, and there's, it's just so rich.
Sure. You know, that's a very important part of the system that I teach, is to feel the emotions. And yes, we completely live in our heads, and we cut ourselves off from experiencing it for the reasons that you just said. And within the separation that we create from the mind, there's also a very intense support system for the matrix in the body. And it's all the stuffed emotions, the fears, and all of that is locked in our memory banks. And when we start to heal, when we start to let go of everything, we start to see why our irrational behaviors come from the body as well. Like, a thought will provoke a reaction in the body. And if we allow ourselves to feel that, we start to unlock this support system, and we start to vibrate in a higher frequency, and we start to experience the love all the time. And I say it's like an internal mourning. It's like we mourn the loss of self. And I cried so much, because I was very, you know, like British. I didn't cry. I was very strong. I controlled everything to the point where I was like an atomic bomb. And when I did go in, because I'm a very strong woman and the women around me are very strong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went in and I cried like a baby, like I really started to feel, but from my guts. And I could see that I never allowed myself that luxury of feeling. And as all the rubbish started to leave, and the stuffed emotions and the judgments, this love started to replace it. And now I just have normal emotions, but with totally without judgment, like a child. But they're very quick. You know, we get to a point where we get so depressed, or we become unbalanced emotionally, and it's because there's no natural flow. Children feel, and they stop, and then they're joyful. Like, I'm angry, and then I'm happy, and I'm sad, and then I'm happy. And that's the natural way for humans to be. But it's another one of these ideas. Oh, we're meant to look like, you know, float around out of our bodies completely disconnected and look peaceful. But it's not true. We have to be in our bodies, and we have to be human, in my experience. You know, some people like floating around, but sometimes we're so disconnected, it's unbelievable.
Oh yeah, I can feel that. It's funny. It is, because and then you miss the entire beauty of this planet, that this third dimensional planet that has such, you know, juiciness of life. I mean, there's so much you miss because you're not here in your body.
Absolutely. And in order to wake up, like really wake up to become the love and everything, you have to be in your body. You know, this is another myth with mystics, that they float out of their bodies. They can't walk. You know, they're in Nevada or whatever it's called, but they can't function as humans. And you have to be in your body, experiencing love consciousness all the time, but very present and very human at the same time as being this love. And then you start to see everything through the eyes of love, and you have the richness of emotion, because emotion is very beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful aspect of the human experience to be profoundly touched by something that it makes you cry, or, you know, even to be angry is beautiful. What does it matter? Mm-hmm. Humans have these emotions, mm-hmm. but we judge everything. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, yeah. And vulnerability, it's almost a necessity, and yet it's got this big bad name, because to be vulnerable, everybody says, is a weakness, and yet it really truly is a strength.
Well, it's the language of the heart. You know, I cannot connect with another person if I'm not being truthful and vulnerable and sensitive and connected. Because when I'm connected with myself, I can be connected to you. But if I'm shut down, protected and distant, there's no opportunity for love. I mean, love is vulnerability. That's power. That's strength. That's truth. Vulnerability. And it's the nature of love. It comes from the heart.
Mm. Well, let's talk about speaking our truth, because that's a huge part of, you know, how we get and become more conscious, because we've learned to lie to please others and to receive approval. So one of the hardest things to do is to be, you know, really truthful. And it doesn't always come out sounding nice, because we're not very good at it.
You know, the thing is, we need to see something very clearly first, and that is, I say, I do not want to tell that person the truth because I'm afraid I will hurt them.
Yes.
And that's not the truth to begin with. I don't want to tell that person the truth because I'm afraid they won't love me anymore, mm-hmm. and that they might abandon me or they won't talk to me. In reality, I'm afraid I'm going to lose something. And I have so many people come to me, like, I'll give you an example, in partnerships, for example,
mm-hmm.
and maybe one of them's been unfaithful or whatever. There's all these dramas within relationships. And it's incredible that when people start speaking their biggest fears, their biggest truths to their partners, to the members of their family, to their bosses, when they start opening themselves to be vulnerable, we have this idea that we're going to be rejected. But it opens the capacity for the love to grow, because everyone knows on some level the truth. We're all lying, we're all pretending, but deep down we all know that we're doing the same thing. But when we start to be really truthful and say exactly what's going on, we open the pathway for that love to grow. And if you can't have a relationship with someone where you can be truthful, honest and real and still contain the love, you don't have a relationship. You know, that's another thing you have to look at, is the quality of the relationships you're having. Like, if you have to lie to someone constantly and tell them what they want to hear, you do not have a relationship, because it's not based in honesty. So when we start... And our biggest fears of disapproval, like, I think it's a bigger fear than fire. Humans to be disapproved of, it throws them into absolute panic, because it's, oh, I'm going to lose the love. People aren't going to care about me. But once you start anchoring in consciousness and speaking the truth lovingly, you will see that the other people start to respond to that as well, and everything starts to change and grow and become more and more love. Truth can only lead to more love. Only. It's the only place it can possibly go. And yet we've been taught the opposite. You know, we need to lie, we need to pretend, we need to fake, mm-hmm. and keep everyone happy. But no one's happy. Everyone's walking around doing the same thing. Keep everyone ignorant should be the word. So, you know, I live with a group of 40 teachers. And I have a big community.
Wow.
My students coming all the time, and I've never seen so many happy people, but everyone absolutely speaks the truth. It's like we all speak the truth, we're all vulnerable, we all feel our feelings, we say exactly what's going on, and we push each other to be more in each moment, like by reflecting to each other our limitations. And these people live in passion, and they live in joy, and doing mundane things, cleaning dishes, serving people, whatever. It doesn't matter what we're doing, it's what we're being. And when you start to become the love, it's an incredible thing, because everything just vibrates in a much higher frequency. So everything we think doesn't work actually does work.
Right.
And the other part of the insanity of the human condition.
Yeah. And, you talk about, once you start following these, people think that, if you go into love consciousness and you speak the truth, that, that we're going to become hardened brutes. And that's just not the way it is, because you become more compassionate and love for everyone, including yourself. So, it's not, you learn not to look outside for it. It's really something from within.
Absolutely. And it's so real. I mean, I live this experience. It's so incredibly real. And, another reason we don't like to speak our truth is, I call it the list. We have these victim games, and we don't tell people how we feel, and then we get offended because they can't guess.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That's one of the favorites, too. Well, if you love me, you'd know. And, women do that with men a lot, because men aren't so intuitive on a lot of levels. I shouldn't say that, I'm going to get shot for saying that, but sometimes, they don't. And we love that. We go, well, if you'd love me, you'd have worked that out. And he's like, huh? How am I meant to know if you don't tell me?
Yeah.
But we like to be in a place of victim, and we like to be very complicated and secretive and testing love. That's one of the things, another thing that we do is we're always testing love, because we're so convinced it's not real, that it's fragile, and it doesn't matter how much love we get shown, we keep pushing the limits just to test it. And these are the games of victim consciousness, not saying how you feel, being resented because no one's guessing. And we do it with the children, with the husband, we do it everywhere, with our friends. Maybe not so much with our close girlfriends, but people have a tendency to do that as well. And it's another place of self-abandonment.
Yeah. So
spreading. And of course, the list, that's another one.
Yeah.
We keep a record of everything that someone did wrong, so when they accuse us of something, we get the list out. And that's why when people have been married for 30 years, they'd never dream of leaving each other, because they've got too long a list. Too much ammunition saved. But remember when you did this. I remember. So we throw the list back and forth.
Yes.
It's funny, isn't
it? Well, it's great, because men never remember. So the women always have the list, because they, their memories on those things seem to be much more impeccable. And men go... and they never remember.
He has to ring his secretary. What did she do to me?
Yeah.
But it's true, and we manipulate from that, and we remember everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really good at that.
Hey?
I'm really good at that.
Oh, so was I. That's what I'm talking from personal experience. I was the queen of it. Yeah.
So spreading your wings. There's no rigid moral code. There's no ethical model. It's really about awareness and integrity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and discerning what serves us and brings us joy versus resentment and suffering and judgment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's about having an experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about just making a new choice and starting to become the love. And it's great, because when you become the love, all of these things that I talk about or that we talk about, it's a natural byproduct. It's not like you have to actually even think about it. You just start to be that. Love's always focused on praise and gratitude, and love's always giving, and love's always vulnerable and unconditional, and love is the truth. So it's not like another set of codes. Now that I've become the love, I have to do this, this, and this. It's something that's so natural and innocent. And as a child, you start to be that person that you think you should be, but naturally, because it's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
you know, instead of trying to create some facade and pretend to be something that you're not, you have to become that. You have to be the love.
Mm-hmm. And we were taught at a very early age how to wear masks because that mm-hmm. sort of makes us, I guess, better. Was it to be better? we get caught behind these masks of what, you know, the perfect employee is supposed to look like, what the perfect mother, what the perfect sister, what the perfect daughter, what, you know, we get these masks that sort of define us, but they are so not who we are that we sort of forget what the essence and that core is.
Sure, and we don't follow our dreams, we don't trust our own hearts, we feel so limited, we think we have to do everything that's appropriate, not necessarily what we want to do, and it's like we start to lose passion for life. We lose passion for ourselves, and then we lose passion for life because we feel so contained within these tight walls of behavioral structures and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, and we start chopping off limbs, like, oh, no, I can't be like that. Even if we desire things, we think, oh, no, that's not appropriate. And we have these ideas of how we should be. And just to be ourselves is all we have to be in our own unique expression. And once we become the love, we just start to be that. And we start, I say to my students, you know, we start in a box, but consciousness in reality is a room without walls. And open yourself up to the possibility of everything. Like, don't have this, oh, I'd never do that. Be open to the possibilities of the unknown, because that's when life starts to become a real adventure, when I start to open my mind and stop boxing and saying no about how I am and who I am. And in the minute you say, well, I'm like that, let it go, because you're not like that. It's just another idea. Maybe your mother was like that or your school teacher was like that, but there's no such thing that you're like. It's just an idea, because in reality, you're the totality. There's no limitation to what you're like. So, you know, it's an incredible adventure. I think the self-discovery is the greatest journey any human makes. When to know thyself is, it's unbelievable, because in reality, until we start experiencing love, we really, really don't know ourselves.
From a very early age, I always believed in magic, and I always believed I could fly. So I'm still hoping.
Yay! Of course you can. I sounds like you've already started.
But I mean, I really want to fly.
Literally. Oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
Save a lot of time in airports. I'm coming with you. Don't worry. Plane's been cancelled.
That's okay. We can fly.
We don't care. Goodbye.
Well, Isha, it has been quite a pleasure and an honor to be chatting with you and to be sharing and experiencing the bliss of why walk when you can fly. I hope that everybody, you know, that is looking for and seeking for their own internal being, that they pick up this little book that's full of jewels.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you very much.
Mm.
And I did want to say that the movie version of the book's coming out very soon too.
So that's what it is. It's a movie version of the book?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
neat.
It's done from the air. A lot of it's done from the air, and it's a lot of beautiful scenes and consciousness. I incorporate a lot of nature, a lot of animals, because I'm crazy about animals. So there's lots of horses and my falcons in there and whales and beautiful scenery. And I think that people will find that the movie's a very easy way of learning the system as well, and very captivating, because visually it's very beautiful, the movie.
When does it come out?
Well, it's going off to Amazon very shortly, so I'm hoping that it's going to be out in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
I'm just finishing it now, and it'll probably be streaming too. I just bought the movie to Australia. They'll be streaming it from here.
Mm.
And it will be available through isha.com.
Great.
So, or through Amazon. It'll be available everywhere. Art House is taking it too. We're trying to get it everywhere.
Nice.
But it's completely, like, it teaches the system, in a very simple way. Of course, the book's more complete in the sense of understanding everything very clearly.
Right.
But visually, I think I hope that people would really enjoy the movie. I certainly had a lot of fun making it. It was great.
Sounds wonderful. Feels wonderful.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Well, thank you. And again, a great pleasure. And thank you for being persistent and patient. And I'm glad we got this opportunity.
Yes. Me too. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.